الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable Ulama Ikram, brothers, students, those who may be listening over the receiver, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praises are due to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, our Creator, our Nourisher, our Sustainer, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, who has granted us life and sustenance, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, who has always been sustaining us, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will continue to sustain us. It is only Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala who is solely in charge of everything. The Qudrat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is above everything. So we should try and build up our relationship and our connection with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The purpose of our gathering is to get the love of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and to see how that love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala can be so intense within ourselves that it supersedes all other love that we have within ourselves. And if we look into the lives of the pious, the Salaf-e-Salihin, and what the development of love they had, what connection of love and that they had with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and how devoted they were, and what divine aid came to them as well. So this serves as a very great inspiration for us, that this is what we should be acquiring and going towards. Yes, we are all human, we make a lot of mistakes, this is nature of man, but that does not stop us from continuing to try. We say we will continue to try, and if we fail, we will get up and we will continue again. This is the path of to the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. As one poet has mentioned, that is tarah ki ham manzile. In this way, this is the way that the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, the pathway of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, is traversed. That gir pare gir ke uthe utke chare. That a person in this path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, he will make mistakes, he will falter, he will fall, so to say. But he doesn't remain in that group. Then he wakes up again and then he takes a few more steps. Then he falls again, he falls again. But you do not remain fallen. Rather, you continue getting up and you continue walking. An example is given that like of a child. When the child is starting to learn to walk, it takes a few steps and it falls down. But then after that, it's encouraged, it wakes up again and it continues. Eventually the child develops the capability, the potential. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala develops the child in such a way that not only the child starts walking, but the child then starts running. So may Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to His Fazl also grant us His love and make us run towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Our Hazrat has explained over the last few days a very, very important pre-ahadith which the muhaddithin have mentioned, that this summarizes the basis for the entire of our deen. So they are very, very three important ahadith, and we should all try and remember it and see how we can implement it and also pass it on to others. When a person listens, as the Hazrat has taught us, with the intention of that I'm going to listen attentively and I'm going to make amal and then I'm going to pass it on, then we will find that we will be the first to benefit. So the first hadith is the very famous hadith that many of us are aware of, innamal a'malu binniyat, that every action is on the basis of its intention. And as many intentions that a person makes, then accordingly Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will reward the person. The second is, min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the beauty of a person's Islam is that those things which are extra, those things that are not necessary, then he abstains from it, he leaves it out. And the third hadith is the one that was recited when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that verily in the body there is a piece of flesh, and if it is correct, the entire body is correct. And if it is corrupted, if it is soiled, then the effect of it is that the entire body goes through difficulty and becomes soiled. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we pay attention so on these aspects. So the first with regard to our intention, that our intention must be correct. Everything that we have done must have the correct intention. So for example, we came for Salatul Fajr, so there are many intentions that a person could have made. A person now fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a farz, one is the amal that a person is doing, but has explained, and this applies to all amal as well. So normally we speak about the intention, but before that also comes the, and then we speak about the adab, the etiquette for an action. But before that, importantly, is to have what aqidah, what is our belief with regards to our, that our amal. So aqidah also needs to be correct, our intention also needs to be correct, and the manner in which we do that amal, that also needs to be done in the correct manner. So what is the difference between our lives and the lives of those who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have reached and got a great nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you look at it outwardly, the time period is the same. It's all 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 3 and somewhat days in a year. But we find that one key element is that the intentions that they make gives them, expounds the reward and the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that like a person, just like a normal two rakat nafil salah. One is you just make our, we make our two rakat nafil salah, but those who have know the power of intention, they on the same two rakats of namaz, they will make up to 7-8 different intentions. So you can make, for example, tahiyyatul wudu, tahiyyatul masjid, salatul istighfar, salatul shukr, salatul tawbah, salatul istikhara, person making safar, salatul safar. So in the same time period of two rakats, you are getting the reward of 16 rakats of salah. Example also, not related directly to intention, but the using of miswak. In the hadith sharif it is mentioned that a person utilizes miswak, then the reward of his salah is increased exponentially by over 70 times. Not 70, but more than 70 times. So if you look at an average, a person's salah takes about 2-2.5 minutes, but just by using miswak, you will see that it is equivalent to he has read namaz for like 2 hours and 20 minutes. So what is like two minutes of namaz and what's 2 hours and 20 minutes of salah? What a great difference it is. And this is just two rakats. So this, in this way, those people who have gained closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have maximized via intentions. And for this also there is a very effective booklet that has been prepared by Mullah Zakaria Marshi, Maximizing on One's Deeds. And it's available in the bookshop. There in this it is mentioned that for even our mundane activities, like if a person goes to do his shopping, which we will outwardly say is like a dunyavi thing, but on the basis of intention, how much you will be able to acquire. Like that a person's eating, the aqidah when a person eats, that this food that I'm consuming, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the benefit of this food and the harm of this food is not in the food itself. It is in the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib used to give this advice that when you are going to your businesses, then before you enter, address your business and say to your business that, oh, business, you do not give me risk. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who grants me risk. So these are this consciousness and these salient points we will learn by sitting in the company of the Ahlullah. And this makes us reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very, very short period of time. So the other is when you eat, you should eat with ikhlas. And all amal, we should have ikhlas. So why are we eating? We're eating solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And accordingly, what we are speaking now, Hazrat says, is that it's a very high level. On our Palampuri, rahmatullah, used to say that address everybody, see according to the level, and then appreciate it, but from there, take them to another level. So the Allah wala is showing us how to, yes, we are weak, but we know where we should be trying for. So it motivates us that we should not be complacent. We shouldn't remain where we are, but we should make an endeavor to improve ourselves. And a person who continues improving himself, he will improve. And a person, like Hazrat gives the example, a ball, if it is thrown up, so once it reaches a certain height, if it just remains over there, doesn't remain over there, what happens? It comes down. So we should always be endeavoring to improve ourselves. So many a times we eat, but without intention, and we don't gain. But if we make the correct intention, and then we're just not eating for ourselves, we're eating for our nafs, for our pleasure, but we're eating because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to great strength. From that strength we will make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, and use that strength now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you via the food for His ibadat. It shouldn't be that we are eating the favors of Rahman, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then with the strength that we get now, we start fulfilling the dictates of our nafs, whatever we, our desires, etc. So we are eating of Rahman, but now we are pleasing Shaitan. So this consciousness, and when a person is eating, to say Alhamdulillah, Bismillah when we're eating, the etiquette of eating, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that just by saying Alhamdulillah after one or two morsels or in between, this is something that is very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes a person close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the second hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned that min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, that a person should give up from the beauty of a person's Islam is that he gives up that which is la ya'ni. That means that it's fuzul, it is extra, and that which we don't need. So Mala Musa Normani, who was from Kitatif, rahmatullah alayhi, he was a very, very jovial person. So he mentioned that this achar and this chutneys that we have, so this is something that he referred to it as like lukma dakel. Lukma dakel, in also in Farsi, they call this achar, they call it bojal gaset. Mufti Ilyas Sahib was mentioning that what it means is that which pulls a load. So meaning now you, Norman used to say that you're full now, you don't really, you're not hungry, but there's so much to eat now, you need to taste everything. So you put the achar also and it pulls all the other food also in. So this is what is referred to, which is extra. But really when a person is really hungry, then Hazrat mentioned that when the food is presented, so whether if the roti came first or the gravy came first, his hunger is such, he doesn't wait for the next, he already start eating because he is so hungry. So Mulla Zain al-Abidin, rahmatullahi alayhi, Mufti Sahib used to say that if we look and we consider in our food how much we prepare and how much extra we prepare, and look at the time that goes into the preparation of our food, whereas meat is supposed to be, could be something that is simple, and a simple meal takes minimal amount of time to cook also, it takes minimal amount of time to eat also, and it takes minimal amount of time to digest also, but it's so easy. But yet our preparations have become so elaborate that it's a very lengthy process. And then the opposite of it now, for that elaborate meal, the longer time, to dish out takes so much of time, to eat it takes extra time, to digest it also becomes a problem. So we should try and endeavor towards bringing simplicity in our lives. And simplicity is something which is encouraged in our Shariat. Al-Bazazatu min al-Iman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that simplicity is part of our Iman. But because we are influenced by the West and we are influenced by all materials that emanate from them, so we think that living a life of extras is something which we should be aspiring for. However, it's supposed to be the opposite. And if we study this hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what a beautiful way. Normally a person wants to apply beauty to something, so you outwardly we will have to say now we have to add more things. So a person needs to put cosmetics, a person needs to put makeup to add beauty. But here we are taught that if you want beauty, then remove things. So make things simpler and then beauty comes into it. So we find that this what we are speaking is just a muzakara, but really it's from ourselves first, and each of us should take it for our own benefit also. So like this here, we can extend it to our clothing, our dressing also, our kurtas, etc., our abayas, brand name, etc. These are all extra things, but we should be endeavoring towards coming to that which is closest to sunnah. So this was the main quality of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. We find that even Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, when the delegation and outside extra delegation from out of Medina were coming to visit, we find that Hazrat, when they had come to see Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, at that time he was laying down, taking his afternoon rest in Masjid al-Nabawi, and what was his pillow? We must say, explain something like a brick, and that's how he was laying. So, but if we would think now elaborations for sleeping, we would say no, you must have a cool room, dark room, curtains, must have the aircon, otherwise you can't sleep. But look at how Amirul Mu'mineen's life was lived. So, the third aspect is that the Hadith Sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah wa inna fil jasadi mudghah. Here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is drawing our attention to a very, very important aspect. The word Allah is to draw attention. So, our attention has been drawn to the fact Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that in the body there is a piece of flesh. And this piece of flesh refers to the heart. And the doctors explain that the size of your heart is normally like the size of your fist. But it's a small piece, but it has an effect on the entire body. And if this is corrected, then the entire body is corrected. So normally we think of, when we come to Islahi Majalis, etc., we think that, okay, I need to correct my dressing, I need to correct my beard, I need to correct these outward aspects. But a few of us think about this aspect of correcting our heart. So this, to correct your outward, your beard, your kurta, and those outward aspects is 100% very, very important. But more important is this aspect of correcting one's heart. And this is something that generally we do not pay attention to. Whereas the heart, we can refer to it as the prime minister of a country. Like the prime minister of the body is the heart. and the various other organs of the body can be referred to as the provinces. So the directives come from the Prime Minister, and the subjugation of the different parts of the body will be under the command of the Prime Minister. So if the heart is corrected, then everything else thereafter becomes falls into place. So we should really think about this: how much of effort are we making in for our heart? We find that the Bedouins, when they had just brought Iman, it is mentioned in the Hadith, in the Quran Kareem, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions that qalatil a'rabu amanna, that when those Bedouins claimed that they have brought Iman, but Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلُ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So this Iman, that still has to be something that needs to be developed, and it's developed from the heart. With regards to our deen, one is a person is born as a Muslim, and he has his iman, and then he carries on in that particular way. Another person may have studied a little bit further, he studied the proofs, he did a little bit of analysis, and his analysis brings him to the conclusion that no, Islam is true, and recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mashallah, that is another level. But there is another level that is where we should be aspiring to be, and that is a level of deep and strong passion for our deen. Strong passion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will come about by practicing on the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We find that in our deen, our Islam, everything is taught to us. And we are encouraged that we should bring proper iman. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, aminu. That all people of iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing, that you bring iman. So what is meant by this? That endeavor to increase your iman, your level of iman, your consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the ayat al-kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that with regards to the effect of this heart, it's so important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That on the day of Qiyamah, what is it that's going to be monitored and that's going to be the gauge? That's going to be on such a day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to that on that day that your لا ينفع مال ولا بنون. Your first wealth is mentioned. That your wealth is not going to come to your aid. It's not going to be able to assist you. Those krugerrands that you have stashed and you got your hope in this dunya is not going to help you there in the akhirah. Your investments of this dunya are not going to help you over there. Neither are your children. We think that our children, as they reach old age, we have our reliance on them, that they will support me, they will look after me. So on the day of Qiyamah, there is going to be nobody to help you. But if there is something that's going to be of assistance for a person, it's going to be for the person who has come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a qalbi salim. Qalbi salim refers to, so this heart is what's going to be the basis of a person's salvation, which refers to a heart that is sound. And ulama mentioned that what is a sound heart, but at the opposite of a sound heart is a qalbi saqim, a heart that is diseased, a heart that has their sickness in it. So Allama al-Wusi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned, so with regards to the heart, what is our aqidah, what is our Who do we have our trust more on? Do I have my trust? What have I put as an ilah in my heart? Ilah is referred to that which we turn to in our times of need, in our times of desperation. When you're seeking something, where do I get it from? So what? Many of us, what ilahs do we have in our heart? Is my shop my ilah? Do I have my trust that my business can do and take me? Is it my wealth that I have made as my ilah? So these are things that should be worked on to be removed from our heart. Allama Adusi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned that with regards to the yom illa man atallaha biqalbin salim, what are the five conditions by which when a person sees it, gives him an indication that his heart is sound? And this is for and we should be thankful that the muhaddithin have explained to us, made it easy for us. So Allama Adusi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that the first is الذي ينفق ماله في البر. That person is a sign of a sound heart is that the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him, he spends it in good causes. That it's spent in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only does a person spend it on himself and his necessities, but we find that like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to take loans from the Jews and spend it on the people, on the Muslims, on those who are needy. And as the Bilal radiallahu anhu was tasked with this here. So those occasions used to come when it was close to now the time of calling in those loans were coming, and there was no money that was available. But despite that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to encourage Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu that you take out even more loans and give. Ya Bilal, anfiq, that's continue spending. not on yourself, but for the benefit of people. وَلَا تَخْشَ مِنْ ذِي الْأَرْشِ إِخْلَالًا. And do not fear and for any poverty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu narrates that soon thereafter, like some delegation will come, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would call for him and give him a huge amount of wealth which they had brought as a form of hadiah. And he says, now go and pay off those loans. So this all happens, this quality happens when a person, his focus, his attention is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not on his pocket. As Hazrat explains, that his attention is on ghaib and not his jayb. So the second quality of qalb salim is that alladhi yurshidu banihi ilal haq. That person who now, he puts his children towards the pathway of truth. We should look what tarbiyah we are making of our children. And the third is that person who does not have any false aqidah in his heart. His reliance is only Allah, his belief is only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person has mentioned that religious person, but he was finding that he was in doubt whether there is one ilah or there is two ilahs. One for good, and like Allah is the God of good, and na'uzubillah, shaitan is also a God of evil. So no, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan doesn't have that power. And the fourth is that person who does not have in his heart an excessive amount of lust that leads him to the fire of Jahannam. And the fifth is that person who in his heart he has only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His trust and his reliance is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us this ability to develop these five qualities and pay attention to our heart so that when we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a qalbi salim. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala through His fazl and karam grant us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.